Welcome to Zichron Daf Siman. I'm Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Pei Vav. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission the parak teaches that the source for the halacha that a woman who emits semen on the third day after intercourse is tameh is from the pasuk in the parsha that deals with the preparation of Kabbalah Satorah. Hayin nechonin l'shoshes yamim, be ready for a three-day period. Rashi explains that since a three-day period was prescribed to give the woman the opportunity to immerse themselves after intercourse and be in a state of tahara for Kabbalah Satorah, we learn that semen remains viable for up to 3 days, and its discharge is metame the woman. And the entire daf is centered around this topic. Point number two, Rav Ada bar Ava said that Moshe always ascended Har Sinai at daybreak, and he descended at daybreak. We know that he ascended at daybreak based on the pasuk, V'yashkin Moshe b'boker v'yal Har Sinai, and Moshe arose early in the morning and ascended to Har Sinai. We know that he descended at daybreak based on a hekesh in the following pasuk, Lech reid v'alisa ata v'aronimach, go descend that you shall ascend and Aaron with you. Just as Moshe's ascent was at daybreak, so too his descent was at daybreak. And point number three, there's a machlokas tanaim regarding when the aseret dibros was given. The rabbanan hold they were given on the 6th of Sivan. Rav Yossi holds they were given on the 7th of Sivan. Now Rava brings proofs from Psukim that they both agree that Bnei Yisrael arrived in Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and the Torah was given on Shabbos, and they disagree as to which day of the week Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on. Rabbi Yossi maintains that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, making Shabbos the 7th of Sivan. The Rabban hold that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, which would result in Shabbos being the 6th of Sivan. All right, so let's review. Point number one, the next mishnah in the parak teaches that the source of the halakha that a woman who emits semen on the third day after intercourse is tamei is from the pasuk and the parsha that deals with the preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Hayu nechonin l'shoshes yamim, be ready for a three-day period. Rashi explains that since the three-day period was prescribed to give the woman the opportunity to immerse themselves after intercourse and be in a state of tahara for Kabbalah Satorah, we learn that semen remains viable for up to 3 days and its discharge is metameh, the woman. And the entire daf is centered around this topic. Point number two, Rav Ada bar Ava says that Moshe always ascended Har Sinai at daybreak and he descended at daybreak. We know that he ascended at daybreak based on the pasuk, V'yashkin Moshe b'bok v'yal Har Sinai, and Moshe arose early in the morning and ascended to Har Sinai. We know that he descended at daybreak based on a hekesh in the following pasuk, Lech reid v'alisa ata v'aronimach, go descend that you shall ascend and Aaron with you. Just as Moshe's ascent was at daybreak, so too his descent was at daybreak. And point number three, there's a machlokas tanaim regarding when the aseret dibros was given. The rabbanan hold they were given on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi holds they were given on the 7th of Sivan. Rava brings proofs from Psukim that they both agree that Bnei Yisrael arrived in Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and that the Torah was given on Shabbos. They disagree as to which day of the week Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on. Rabbi Yossi maintains Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, making Shabbos the 7th of Sivan. The rabbanan hold that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, which would result in Shabbos being the 6th of Sivan. All right, so now we're going to go to Simfer Pei Vav, and the most popular suggestion was in the Pooh, but I personally never understood what that whole series was all about, so I'm going to pass on that. We had Edgar Allan Poe, Magic Potion. We had Poodles, Hungarian Bubby going, Kaneno Hora, Poo Poo Poo. We had Marcel Scheimer from Woodmere suggested a history trip to Pupendisa. That was very clever, interesting. We had Fever and Corona in parentheses. Fooey, a superstition old woman going foo foo. Perm costumes, Pua, Miriam in the Chumash. Also want to mention Alon Leder from Nofai Alon in Israel. His daughter Maital suggested Pavlova, which is a popular dessert in Australia and New Zealand. But I'm going to go with something which is actually going to sound pretty mundane here. I'm going to go with another popular suggestion, police. Police is going to be Pevav. So that's going to be our simon for Pevav is police, policeman. So here goes. The police were told to prepare for 3 days before ascending the mountain at daybreak to seek evidence as to when the aseret dibros were given. So once again, in slow motion. The police, that means Rondav, Pevav. The police were told to prepare for 3 days, which reminds us, the next mission teaches that the source of the luck that a woman who emits semen on the third day after intercourse is tamei is from the pasuk and the parsha dealing with the preparations for Kabbalah Satorah. Hayin nechonin l'shoshes yamim, be ready for a three-day period. Rashi explains that since a three-day period was prescribed to give the woman the opportunity to immerse themselves after intercourse and be in a state of tahara for Kabbalah Satorah, we learn that semen remains viable for up to 3 days and its discharge is metame the woman. And the entire daf is centered around this topic. So the police were told to prepare for 3 days before ascending the mountain at daybreak, which reminds us Rav Ada bar Ava said that Moshe always ascended Har Sinai at daybreak, and he descended at daybreak. We know that he ascended at daybreak based on the pasuk, V'yashkin Moshe b'boker v'yal Har Sinai, and Moshe rose early in the morning and ascended to Har Sinai. We know that he descended at daybreak based on a hekesh in the following pasuk: Lech red va'alisa ata va'aron imach. Go descend, that you shall ascend and Aaron with you. Just as Moshe's ascent was at daybreak, so too his descent was at daybreak. So the police were told to prepare for 3 days before ascending the mountain at daybreak to seek evidence as to when the Aseret HaDibros were given. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes tanaim regarding when the Aseret HaDibros were given. The Rabbanan hold they were given on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi holds they were given on the 7th of Sivan. Rabbah brings proof from Psukim that they both agree that Bnei Yisrael arrived at Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan and the Torah was given on Shabbos. They disagree as to which day of the week Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on. Rabbi Yossi maintains that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, making Shabbos the 7th of Sivan. And the Rabbanan hold that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, which would result on Shabbos being the 6th of Sivan. So once again, the police were told to prepare for 3 days before ascending the mountain at daybreak to seek evidence as to when the Aseret HaDibros were given. All right, now it's time for four blah bah chazara. Daf Pei Beis. So the symbol for Pei Beis is a pub. So here goes. The pub, that means we're on Daf Pei Beis. The pub, famous for serving its patrons beer that gave them stomach cramps, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a number of opinions regarding what one should do if he needs to relieve himself, but is unable to do so. Rav Chissa said he should stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down. Rav Hanan of Nardah said he should remove himself to the sides. Rashi explains that he should move to another spot before trying a second time. Rav Amnuna said he should manipulate himself in that place with a stone. And the Rabban said he should remove his mind from it. And Rav Ashi explained that the Rabban meant he should remove his mind from all other matters and concentrate fully on relieving himself. So the pub, famous for serving his patrons beer that gave him stomach cramps, as well as bad breath and body odor, which reminds us, there's a machlokes between Rav Chisson and Ravina concerning one who does not relieve himself when he needs to. One holds he'll develop bad breath. Rashi explains that the waste not excreted will rot and the resulting odor will exit through the mouth. The other one holds he will develop bad body odor. Rashi explains that the rotting waste will be absorbed in his tissues, causing excessive foul perspiration. So the pub, famous for serving his patrons beer that gave him stomach cramps, as well as bad breath and body odor, was fittingly called the Tummy Idol. Which reminds us, in the opening mission, the ninth parak that deals with the rabbinic enactment that Avodah Zorah transmits tumah, Rabbi Akiva states that Avodah Zorah transmits tumah through carrying it, just like Anita does, based on the comparison of the two in the pasuk, Tzarem kamo dava se tomer lo. You will cast them away as you would Anita. You'll say to it, the Avodah Zorah, go out. The Gemara brings a mission from Avodah Zorah where the Rabban disagree with Rabbi Akiva and state that Avodah Zorah generates tumah like a sheretz, based on the pasuk that refers to an idol, shaketz de shaksenu. You must utterly abominate it. The word sheketz is related to the word sheretz, and therefore the pasuk teaches that just as a sheretz does not generate tumas masa, carrying tumah, neither does Avodah Zorah. There's a machlokes rhyme on how to understand this dispute. Daf Pei Gimel. So the symbol Pei Gimel is a pig. So here goes. The Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races. Pig races, that means we're on Daf Pei Gimel. The Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of tumah ziva. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa from the pasuk regarding tumah ziva, Dabru al Bnei Israel. We learn that only Bnei Israel are susceptible to tumah ziva, but not non-Jews. However, the Rabban decreed upon non-Jews that they be regarded as zavim in all matters. This decree was imposed on non-Jews from the age of 9 and older to discourage Jewish boys from playing with these children so as not to be seduced into engaging in sodomy, which is brought in Gemara and Avodah Zorah. So the Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of tumah ziva, choosing instead to take a tour on a pure ship to Torah Island. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that ships are not makabel tumah based on a pasuk in Mishlei, where Shlomo HaMelech enumerates 4 things that a person cannot know, one of them being Derech HaNiyah B'Lev Yam, the way of the ship in the heart of the sea. The Gemara explains that a ship is like the sea. Just as the sea is not makabel tumah, so too a ship is not makabel tumah. An alternative source for a ship not being makabel tumah is brought in the Braisa. The Braisa says that Hanani learns it from an analogy drawn between wooden vessels and a sack, both mentioned in the pasuk regarding tumah sheretz. Just as a sack is carried at times full of items and at times when empty, so too any vessel which is susceptible to tumah must be made to be carried when full or when empty. A ship which is too heavy to be carried when full, therefore is not makabel tumah. The Gemara presents the practical differences between these two sources. So the Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of tumah ziva, choosing instead to take a tour on a pure ship to Torah Island, where everybody lives in tents of Torah. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings 2 explanations of the pasuk, Zos haTorah Adam ki yamus bo'ohel. This is the Torah, a man who dies in a tent. Rabbi Yonason learns, Lo'olam l'yimna Adam es atzmo beis hamidrash midivrei Torah, v'afil b'shas misa. A person should never prevent himself from attending the beis hamidrash or refrain from words of Torah, even at the moment of death. Reish Lakish learns, Ein divrei Torah miskaymin el b'misha meimis aso aleha. The words of Torah are not retained except by one who kills himself over the Torah. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Simcha Pei Dalet is a spaceship on a launch pad. So here goes. This spaceship was carried out to the launch pad. Launch pad, that means run Daf Pei Dalet. This spaceship was carried out to the launch pad by oxen, which reminds us, Rav has said that according to Hananya, the rule that a ship that can be carried even when it's laden is Makabel Tuma even applies to a ship that is so heavy that it needs to be carried by oxen. The Gemara brings a proof based on Mishnayos and Kelim, through which we learn that an exceptionally large wagon that's pulled by oxen for transporting stones can be Makabel Tuma if it can contain medium-sized pomegranates, the shear to give a wooden vessel the status of a Keli. So this spaceship was carried out to the launch pad by oxen, outfitted with a clay couch that can't be Makabel Tuma's midras, which reminds us that the Gemara seeks the source for Bryce's ruling that earthenware vessels are not Makabel Tuma's midras. Rav Chizkiya learns from a Hekesh in the pasuk regarding Azav's couch, which is Tamei Tuma's midras, that says, the Isha sheyigav mishkabo, and a man who will touch his couch. Just as the Zav can attain Tahara through Tevil and a mikvah, so too the couch must be made from material that can attain a Tahara and a mikvah. This excludes an earthenware vessel from Tuma's midras. The Gemara cites two more alternate sources. So the spaceship was carried out to the launch pad by oxen, outfitted with a clay couch that can't be Makabel Tuma's midras, and on a mission to plant 5 different seeds in a garden patch on a different planet. Which reminds us, the next mission the Perek provides as source, that one can plant 5 different seeds in a garden patch that is 6 tefachim square and not violate the prohibition of Kalayim. The Pasuk from Yeshayahu describing the blessing of the Jewish people at the end of the day says, Ki ka'aretz totzi simcha u'kagana zero tatzmiya. For like the earth gives forth its plant, and like a garden causes its seeds to sprout. Rav Yehuda clarifies in the Gemara that each word in the Pasuk that denotes growth or vegetation is a reference to a separate species. Totzi, Simcha, and Tatzmiach each represent one species, and Zeruel, being plural, represents two more for a total of 5. The Rabban determined that 5 species sown in a 6 fucking patch will not draw nourishment from each other. Daf Pehe. So the Simran Daf Pehe is a dentist checking someone's mouth. So here goes. The dentist, that means we're on Daf Pehe. The dentist was shocked when he discovered a mouthful of dirt in his patient from Zeir's mouth, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the pasuk that teaches us that the Rabban can be relied on to determine the 5 points of horticulture is, Wasasik vul re'acha asher gabul rishonim, do not move the boundary of your neighbor which the early ones marked out. The pasuk comes to teach that one should not encroach on the boundary that the early ones established for planting. And Rashi explains that planting too close to the boundary will weaken the neighbor's field. It was said in the name of Yonasan that the early ones are those mentioned in the pasuk, El b'nei Seir ha'chori yoshvei aretz. These are the sons of Seir, the chori inhabitants of the land. Inhabitants of the land, Yoshvei Ha'aretz teaches they knew which land was good for growing certain species. Chori teaches they could smell, marichin the land, to know which species to plant there. And Chivi teaches they would taste the ground like a snake, like a chivya, determine what is best to plant. So the dentist was shocked when he discovered a mouthful of dirt in his patient from Seir's mouth, who had just come from planting in the 6x6 internal area of the vegetable patch, which reminds us, Ravasi said that the 6x6 dimensions of the garden patch mentioned in the Mishnah was referring to the internal area of the patch, excluding its borders which were used for walkways. If the borders which were typically a tefach wide were included in the dimensions, that would only leave an area 4x4 tefachim wide, and therefore there would only be 2 tefachim between the center seed and the seeds along the sides. There needs to be at least a distance of 3 tefachim between seeds to not violate the prohibition of Kalayim. So the dentist was shocked when he discovered a mouthful of dirt in his patient's from Seir's mouth, who had just come from planting in the 6x6 internal area of his vegetable patch, staggered amongst other patches. Which reminds us that the Malchukas and Marayim regarding where the Mishnah's vegetable patch was planted. Rav said it was planted in a barren area where there was nothing around it. Rashi explains that since the Mishnah said that 4 rows were planted along the sides, that would only leave a distance of 2 tefachim between the seeds and those of an adjacent patch, given the 2 tefachim of walkways between them. Shmuel says it was planted amongst other patches, in which all the patches were planted in a staggered fashion to ensure a distance of 3 tefachim between the adjacent seeds. All right, now it's time for a pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Sechus Brachas. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that if one does not relieve himself when he should, it'll either result in bad breath or in bad body odor? That's on Duff. Pei Beis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that the B'nai Seir were experts of the land? That's on Duff. Hey, great. Number 3, which stuff do we learn the source that 5 seeds can be planted in a garden patch? and there won't be a problem with a climb. That's on Daf. Pei Dalet. Good. Number four. Which Daf do we learn that Moshe ascended and descended Har Sinai at daybreak? That's on Daf. Pei Vav. Good. Number five. Which Daf do we learn whether one can carry stones up to the roof to wipe oneself because of Kavod Abriyas? That's on Daf. Pay off. Great. Number six. Which Daf do you learn, according to Hananya, a ship carried by oxen would be Makabel Tuma? That's on Daf. Pay dog. Good. Number seven. Which Daf do we have a Machlokas regarding which part of the tefillin make from one's hands Tame? That's on Daf. Ein Tes. Great. Number eight. Which Daf do we have a Machlokas regarding when the Aseres Dibros were given? That's on Daf. Pei Vav. Good. Number nine. Which Daf do we have Machlokas regarding what the level of Tumah that was decreed on Avodah Zorah? That's on Daf. Pei Beis. Good. And number 10. Which Daf do we learn that Tumah Ziva was decreed on non-Jews? That's on Daf. Pei Gimel. Great. Now we go to the three bonus questions from Masechus Brachos. Number one. Which Daf do we learn about the inappropriate behaviors during Tefillah? That's on Daf. Kav Dalet. Good. Number two. Which Daf do we learn that one should always mishabech, one should always praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu before making requests? That's on Daf. Mama Bays. Good. And finally, number three. Which Daf do we learn why wine and not oil gets its own bracha? That's on Daf. Lamed Hey. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz, plus the three bonus questions from Masechus Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.